We are up to Perek Yud. Malachim Aleph Perek Yud. We discussed a lot about the building of the Beis HaMikdash and the tremendous wealth that Shlomo HaMelech managed to accumulate. We're going to discuss more of that in this Perek as well. But again, now we're picking up with the word is spreading about the greatness of Shlomo and the greatness of all that Shlomo has accomplished. And with that, we pick up in with Perek Yud. So Perek Yud Pasuk Aleph. So the Navi begins, Umalkas Shiva Shomas es Shema Shlomo l'Shem Hashem v'tavo l'nasoso b'chidos. Very interesting opening Pasuk. The Navi says that the Queen of Sheva, Malkah Sheva, heard about Shlomo HaMelech, his name, his greatness, he's famous, and that he's doing it L'Shem Hashem, right? That this, there was something unique about the wisdom of Shlomo, and that people were saying, and this is what she was coming, as we'll see in a moment, to test, that this wisdom came from God. Okay, which is an interesting, piece of conjecture normally. How do you know the wisdom comes from God specifically? So she heard so much about this wisdom that it was used for godly purposes, the Shem Hashem, and he used it, it was from Hashem, and he used it for positive. Sometimes people have a lot of wisdom or intelligence, and they use it for bad. But Shlomo used everything for good. V'tavo l'nasoso b'chidos. So she came to try and test him with riddles. She wanted to see what he was really made of. The Mefarshim point out that it seems to be that she was a very, very intelligent woman as well and figured he can't possibly be as smart as they are saying that he is. And therefore, she decided that she is going to come and she is going to test him. Now, why is all of this included here is interesting. Clearly, the fact that he's being tested is less important, but again, the conclusion of it, as we'll see, is probably more what the Navi is getting at. So what happens, Pasuk Yud, where exactly Malkah Sheva is from, the Mefarshim are very, very unsure about. They're not sure where this kingdom was, where exactly she was, what her status was. Again, it seems to be that she's some sort of queen, and presumably, as I think the Gemara mentions, that she was the queen because she was the queen, not because she married the king. Right? I don't know in England what they call all those different things. But right, she was like the more like the Queen Elizabeth than whoever the current one is. She was the one who was part of that royal lineage. V'tavo Yerushalama, and she came to Yerushalayim. B'chayil kaved ma'od, she came with a large number of soldiers. Now, again, it's clear that these were not soldiers. This was more like an entourage that was accompanying her. This was not soldiers coming to fight. This was a peaceful mission. And the rest of it makes that clear. Gimalim nosim b'samim v'zahav rav ma'od v'even yikara. There were many camels that were laden with spices and gold and precious stones. V'atavo, it seems like that was the tradition. If you're going to greet the king, you bring something from your country, you bring something, a gift. V'atavo al Shlomo, and she came to Shlomo, v'atadiber elav eskol asher haya im levava. And she gave over whatever was in her heart, whatever she was thinking about. And what it seems to be is that she was discussing things that she wouldn't normally discuss, in which case, that the fact that you're able to figure them out is, this is, the higher equations and the higher, philosophical issues she was dealing with, that was what is being discussed right now. How does Shlomo respond? Vayaged lo Shlomo's kol devarha lo haya devar nadla min amelech asher lo higid lo. He was able to respond to everything, whatever she said. Again, it doesn't seem like it was in a curt, I know better way, but whatever the topic was, whatever it was that she was trying to inquire, he had no problem talking about whatever that topic was and discussing it further. Now, some of the first point out, okay, so that would show one level. But what's this? Kol asher hayoyim levavo, whatever is with her heart. So some of the Farshim explain that he had certain insight into people also. And that from the way that a person was talking, he was able to even pick up on things that were not necessarily being said. And that was the part that was even more impressive. It was what was in her heart. Not just what her words expressed, but she knew what she was really thinking. And somehow Shlomo had a certain chachma that he was able to gain insight into somebody from how they said it into, you know, what was behind it. And even that Shlomo was able to reveal. And that already was quite impressive, as the next pasuk tells us, "Vatere makas shiva is kol chachma Shlomo v'abayis asher bana," and she saw his tremendous wisdom. She saw this base hamikdash that he managed to build. U'ma'achal shulchano u'moshav avadov u'ma'amadov misharsov u'ma'bushehem u'mashkav olaso asher labeis Hashem v'lo haya ba'od ruach. And she saw the food that he served. What was so overwhelming about the food? It wasn't just the amount. So something that Farshim pointed out, no. Like, he understood which foods were healthier, which foods were for that. And then, the pyramid and the food group. Everything was done with wisdom. Even the way his servants were lined up and how everything was done. Everything was done with precision and with a calculation. And he even saw Ola soa shayala beis Hashem, that he had a certain, which we'll talk about more in a moment, he had a certain passageway or I don't know if it was a little bridge connecting the throne to the Beis HaMikdash, so that he could have easy access to the Beis HaMikdash. And she thinks she saw that his life was geared towards Hashem and this chachma that he gave, and using it for good, using it in a positive, way. V'lo haya ba'oruach. She didn't have any energy. She didn't have any wind. What does that mean? She was just completely blown away, completely overwhelmed by this, by the wisdom of this person. Vatomer elan melech, in pasuk vav, she says, "Emes hayah hadavar asher shamati b'artzi." Everything that they're saying about you, everything, all the rumors, it's all true. Al dvarecha v'achach masecha, about everything that you say and about your wisdom. You know, sometimes these things get exaggerated. I came, I checked it out myself, and it is all absolutely true. V'lo hemanti l'dvarim. I didn't believe it. It was impossible to fathom that there could be somebody as wise as what everybody was articulating about you. Ad asher basi v'atiren ha'inai. But I came and I saw it with my own eyes. V'ne lo hugad li hachitzi. I haven't even heard the half of it. The rumors and what I thought were exaggerations don't even come close to describing the tremendous wisdom that you possess. Hosafta chachma v'tov el hashma sher shamati. You have more goodness, which is again is not a small thing, right? You can have the chachma without being able to use it in a positive way, and your wisdom is more than anything that anybody is possibly giving over. How fortunate are your people, are your subjects, that they have you as a king, that somebody who possesses this and somebody who's using it for the betterment of Klal Yisrael, who's building a Beis HaMikdash, who's building the Beis Hashem, who's using it towards the spiritual gains. And therefore, they get to hear your wisdom all the time. If they have an issue, if they have to have a fight which is adjudicated, whatever it is, they can come to you. Yehi Hashem Elokecha Baruch. And that ultimately is, I guess, the biggest Kiddush Hashem, is the recognition that she had that this all came from Hashem. Right? The Rambam writes that the definition of a Kiddush Hashem is that somebody should look at somebody who's from and say, how great is Hashem that people who follow his Torah act in such a way. And the fact that Shlomo elicited from her this response speaks a lot about Shlomo. He should be blessed. Asher chafetz b'cho, picked you. L'sitcha kisei Yisrael, to put you on the throne. Ba'ahavas Hashem es Yisrael le'olam. Ba'yisimcho le'melech asos mishvodos dakam. It really is a reflection of the love that God has for the Jewish people, because it's not about you. Yet you happen to be the person. But if God put you in this place, it's because he wants his people, he wants his children to have such a king. And she gave tremendous gifts to Shlomo. Vatitein lamelech, she gave to the king, Me'ah ve'asrim kikar zahav, 120 talents of gold, a lot of gold, ubisamim harbim od ve'ev yikara, and much of these spices and precious stones, lova kabosem ahu od larov, asher nasno malka shevad melech Shlomo. And never again did anybody ever give such a quantity of spices as what she gave. Again, just indicating how appreciative she was, how much she wanted to support and show that she wants to remain connected to this Malchus of Shlomo. In addition, and again, here we'll have to get back in a moment to understanding what exactly the Navi is trying to tell us, but if we remember back to last Perek, we also discussed a lot of gold being delivered to Shlomo, and that's in Pasuk Yidal. V'gam anichi ram asher nasa zahav me'ofir, hevi me'ofir atzei amugim harbeim me'od ve'evin yakara. Right, we discussed the fleet last time of Hiram, which came, which had all that gold, which came from Ophir. Right, Shlomo had built these tremendous ships, and Hiram had sent his master sailors to help steer his boat. They went to Ophir, wherever exactly that was, and they mined or produced in whatever way they brought out the gold. And along with that, they brought a lot of almog trees. I have no idea what an almog is. But it's some sort of tree. Some of the Farshim say that it was more like coral or something like that. Not sure. But either way, it was something that they did not have a lot of in Eretz Yisrael. And Harbein Me'od Amikar, they brought a tremendous amount of the agua and precious stones. What did Shlomo do with that? Vayas HaMelech Es Atzei HaAlmugim Is'ad LeBeis Hashem ULeBeis HaMelech V'kinuros u'nevalim lasharim, lo v'achin atzei almogim v'lo nira ad hayom hazeh. And he took all of these, the almog, and that was what he used to create this bridge, this pathway that existed from the castle, from the palace, to the Beis HaMikdash. So again, this is clearly a parenthetical statement of what happened beforehand, because she already saw, and she commented on this beautiful bridge that had been built. But again, I think that the Navi was just pointing out here that in addition to all the wealth that she was giving, and again, we'll have to discuss maybe towards the end why there's such an emphasis on all of the gold and all of the wealth. It doesn't seem to be that it's really such a value. Why is there such a focus? But we'll get there soon. And with that, he created the bridge, and also he made instruments, the harps and other instruments for those that were going to be singing in the Beis HaMikdash. And there was never this much almug tree brought into Eretz Yisrael. Okay. With all of this, what did Shlomo do? V'hamelech Shlomo nasan malkas shevas kol chavtzah she shalah. What did he, so we've seen what Malkas Sheva gave to Shlomo. What did Shlomo do for her? So first of all, answered all of her questions. Milevad asher nasan lo ki yad ha-melech Shlomo v'tefen ha-tel chavtzah hi v'avadeha. And along with that, he gave her according to his generosity. So again, it doesn't tell us the exact amounts, but he was clearly quite a wealthy person. And he returned the gift in kind. I think Rashi points out that gave her specifically things that were not found in her country. I mean, I don't know, the Shiva Saminim, whatever the fruits were, whatever there are things that were unique to Eretz Yisrael, he gave those things to her. Now, she turns back and she goes home. Okay. So again, it's an interesting episode, which again seems to be much more about just highlighting that his name is spreading throughout the world, and that, which is again, the way that it's supposed to be. When the Beis HaMikdash is in its prime, and everything is going well, then Eretz Yisrael is going to be the center of the world to where everybody wants to go. And certainly Shlomo, besides having built the Beis HaMikdash, in terms of his chachma, is an extra draw and again accomplishing this goal that the Beis HaMikdash should be at the center of the world. But now we get back to even more about the gold. So if we summarize, and the Navi is doing it for us now, all the different gold deliveries that we've had recently, then over the course of the 1 year, he received 666 talents of gold. Now, how much is a talent? I have no idea, but it certainly seems like it is. A lot of gold. How did he get to this number? So Rashi points out that Hiram gave 120, Malka Shava gave 120, and we know they brought a lot from Ophir. So apparently, whatever was left from Ophir was 420. And then we're left with 6, and he can't figure out exactly where the 6 came from. I'm not sure why it can't be that 426 came from Ophir. But again, that seems to be more or less where it came from. Okay. Why is all this important? We'll see momentarily. All of this is levad man shehatarim umischar aruchlim v'chom achei arbu pachos aretz. Besides all of this, there were people, other merchants who were coming through. There were taxes that were being collected. There were, you know, other people that were gonna, you know, other kings that potentially showed up. You know, maybe they only brought, you know, 5 or 6 talents of gold with them. I mean, they didn't bring as much. So there was a tremendous amount of wealth pouring in to Eretz Yisrael. Vayas HaMelech Shlomo Masayim Tzina Zahav Shachut. Shlomo made 200 shields out of gold. He put 600 measures of gold into each shield. Again, which the chiddush, right, is that normally you would not make a shield for your soldiers out of gold, right? You would use certainly some sort of other metal. That does not cost as much, but he had so much that that he used it in order to create these shields. Ushlosh meos maginim zahav shachlo shlosh maginim zahav yaleh al magan achas vayitnei melech beis yar levanon. And then there were in addition to that he had another 300 shields of gold which had 300 dinars of gold in each one. And they were placed in the palace, which again was known as the Arzei HaLevanon, the Ar HaLevanon. Okay, now presumably, and we'll see more about this in a moment. Right, it wasn't about Shlomo showing off, and it wasn't about okay, my soldiers have gold. It was part of the kavod for the malchus. Again, which I don't know if you call that showing off. That this is what they had, and they had the ability to. They had the ability to do it. And it was, again, about showing the prestige, not of himself, but of the Jewish people at that time. But he didn't limit it just to that. He also created, and I think here is where there are different versions of this in Chazal, but the details. But he also used the wealth to build himself a fantastic throne. And here also, it was not about his glory, but the glory of the kavod of the king, that the king represents Hashem. So Pasuk Yudches, Vayas HaMelech Kisei Shein Gadol. He made a throne out of shein, out of teeth, out of ivory, not teeth, right? But he made it an ivory throne. Vayitzapeyu Zahav Mufaz. And he covered it over. It was gold plated with some sort of sparkling gold. Going up to the throne, Sheish Ma'alos Lakisei. There were 6 steps going up to the throne. Verosh Agol Lakisei Macharav, and the back of it was rounded. V'yados Mizel Mizel Mekol Mashaves. It had nice armrests on the side. Ushnaim Arayos Omdim Eitzel Hayados. And there were 2 lions next to the arms. Ushtemasar arayim omdim sham al sheisham alos mizeh mizeh lo nasachin nechal mamlachos. And then on each step, there was a lion on each side. So there were 12 lions on each side. Again, not real lions, but lions made out of gold. Lions made out of gold. And here also, it's clear that there was a deeper meaning to all this. The fact that it mentions the armrests, obviously in a vacuum, is not so important. But everything was thought through. The Abarbanel says that it represents Torah Shebech Sav and Torah Shebal Peh. Right? Everything was calculated. There are 12 lions, or because they're the twelve Shvatim. But somehow within this, again, it was not just another throne, right? It says nothing has been made like this ever for any of the other kingdoms. So on that, Chazal comment that his throne was unique and that other kings at different points conquered it and tried to use it, and they were unable to. They were unable to. That somehow the engineering of the lions and the things like that, this is the most famous story, or two of the most famous Midrashim, are at a certain point, their throne ended up with Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a king over the entire world, and he was able to sit on that, but Achashverosh wanted to sit on it. He was not a king of the entire world. They didn't want him to. Why not? Because Paro Necho from Egypt at one point tried to sit on the throne, and one of the lions attacked him. So again, exactly what these lions were is not 100% clear, but that's why he was called Paro Necho. Paro Necho was the injured Paro. He got injured when he was trying to use this throne. There was something unique. There was something magnificent about it. And again, it was about trying to create an aura that when people would come in front of him, he was representing the Dvar Hashem, right? The rulings, the Torah was going to be coming out of that, and that was the glory of the king. V'chol klei mashkeh melech shlomo zahav, all the vessels, the utensils that were used were golden. V'chol klei beis yar halavanon zahav sagur. Why was everything made out of gold? Silver had almost no value in those times. There was so much wealth that there was no need for the silver. And if there's no need for it, then the only value that it has is as much as people are willing to spend on it, and which is willing people are willing to invest in it. There was so much gold, as we see again, that it was just a different time. And he used all of these things in order to make sure that it would be clear that the kingdom is in all of its glory. Ki ani tarshish la melech bayam imani chira machas l'shalosh nim tavo ani tarshish nosei zahav v'chesef shenahabim v'kofim v'sukiyim. So what the Navi is stressing now is like, well, don't think, you might be concerned that if, you know, 666 talents of gold came in the first year, okay, but maybe it's going to slow down. No, it did not slow down. There were gifts that were constantly, coming in from the king of Tarshish and from Hiram and from others. They were always sending in a fleet with gifts for Shlomo. Once in 3 years, a fleet would come with, yeah, that's what it says, gold, silver, ivory, kofim are monkeys, and tukiim are peacocks. Again, I guess unique animals that were part of the glory. When you walk into the garden and there are peacocks there, you know, I guess it looks kind of nice. Especially, I guess peacocks are not native to Eretz Yisrael. So again, it was part of the glory of the other kings wanting to show kavod. And through all this, Vayigdal HaMelech Shlomo Mikol Malchei Haaretz LaOsher LaChachma. And this is, I think, why the Navi has been stressing the wealth and the wisdom of Shlomo, is because Shlomo's name was now the name amongst all of the nations, and everybody heard about his wealth, and everybody heard about his wisdom. V'chol Haaretz Mevakshim Es Pnei Shlomo Lishmos Chachma. So everybody was drawn to hear him give his drushas, and to hear him hear his wisdom, and to hear his insights. that was clear to everybody was a special gift from Hashem. V'heima meviim ish min chasok lechasok etzav uslamos v'neshek u'besamim susim u'pradim dvar shana b'shana. And everybody who was coming from all these different places would bring more gifts. And they would bring things made out of silver and gold and clothing and weapons and spices and horses and donkeys. So there was constantly not just the wealth that he had at the beginning, but more and more coming in. And he accumulated horses and chariots as well. Vayasov Shlomo Rechav Uparashim. Vayhilo Elef Varba Meos Rechav. He had 1,400 chariots. Ushnei Masar Elef Parashim. And 12,000 riders. Vayanchim Ba'arei Arechavim HaMelech B'Yerushalayim. We had this mentioned earlier as well, that he had cities that were designed for these people to live in. Some of them were in Yerushalayim as well with the king. And silver in Yerushalayim was as common as the stones. It was everywhere. It decreased in value and there was so much wealth. And he made cedar as abundant as sycamore. Again, and he got the finest horses, which were the horses from Egypt. Horses from Egypt. He would import the horses from Egypt, and they had traders who would set a specific price. And the chariot was able to be brought out of Egypt for 600 pieces of silver, horses for 150, and they would export for all of the kings of some of the surrounding places as well. It seems to be that he monopolized it, and he made sure that all of these things would be a kavod for the malchus. Now, at the same time, increasing wealth brings challenges as well. And as we move forward, again, we know that the Torah, when it comes to lo yarbe lo susim, not to have too many horses, some of these things are treading on dangerous territory, and we'll have to see what happens with Shlomo as we move forward. Mir Tzeshem, next time.